The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Parents, students, please listen. This is urgent.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, friends. This is one of those days where I've got to keep my pledge that I will not get your blood boiling without your faith rising. But put your seatbelts on for this one. It's going to get pretty intense. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. Thank you for joining us. The bottom of the hour, I am going to be joined by Greg Kochel to talk about his new book, Street Smarts. He has so much wisdom to offer us in terms of sharing our faith and defending our faith. So we're going to have a great time with this great author at the bottom of the hour. But the first half of this show is going to be one of those wake up, shake up, eye-opening, stirring, but also faith-building. Remember, friends, hearts of compassion, backbones of steel, grace and truth together. Little background. Many of you know that in 2004, somewhat to my surprise, the Lord began to lay on my heart my calling to help push back against homosexual activism. Now, you have to understand that this was not in place of the other things I was doing. It was not in place of teaching and training students for ministry. It was not in place of Jewish outreach and apologetics. It was not in place of biblical scholarship and writing commentaries. It was not in place of preaching in churches and stirring hearts for revival and going to the nations. It was something additional. But the question, why me? I don't come out of homosexuality. It's not part of my testimony. I never had a burden in particular to reach out to the gay community. I had folks I was close to that were ex-gays, but even there, I didn't have a sense of a primary calling there. But I began to understand in 2004 that no one got to sit this one out. 2004, friends. I already saw in 2004 that gay activism was, even then, the principal threat to freedom of religion, speech, and conscience in America. And I began to see how pervasive these things were in the schools, in the courts, in places of business, in media, etc. I knew some, but my eyes were open dramatically. At the same time, I understood deeply that unless I had God's heart for the people, I was missing something. In other words, it's one thing to be concerned about an issue, but God's also concerned about people. It's people and issues. So early in 2005, while praying with, I don't know, 1,500, 2,000 people in front of the Supreme Court for the overturning of Roe v. Wade in frigid D.C. weather with life tape on our mouths, the red tape and the word life written on it, I heard the Spirit say to me, reach out and resist. This brought together what had been growing in my heart for months before that. Reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. Reach out and resist. And that's the policy that we followed all these many years. And I was just talking to some dear friends the other day, folks that had worked in our ministry 12, 13 years ago, and this brother said, Dr. Brown, all the things you were talking about back then that were going to happen, we're seeing in front of our eyes. Yes, it's true. We've said these things would happen. We said marriage nationwide would be redefined. We'd said that those who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet. It would be a direct attack on our freedoms and our rights. We predicted many of the things that were coming. It was just self-evident to me. I think all of us as God's people should be prophetic in a sense, meaning we know God, we read the word, we have his principles, we have his wisdom. And through that lens, we look at the world, which gives us all, whether we're Baptist, Pentecostal, should give us all a sense of prophetic insight, if you follow me here. 1 Chronicles 12, 32, the sons of Issachar, the children of Issachar, these leaders understood the times and knew what Israel should do. That should be us as God's people. Whether we speak in tongues or not, whether we believe in the gift of prophecy or not, we should have that prophetic sense of understanding the times and the seasons based on the word of God and the wisdom of God and our walks with God. And based on that, understand how we should respond to the cultural crisis that we are in. Okay, so why did I start out with a shout out to parents and students? Why am I bringing this up again? I want to bring three specific cases to your attention, and then I want to tell you why in the midst of this, I am still encouraged and full of hope and expectation, and why you should be as well. Okay, number one, first story. A California school district settles with, this is a headline in the New York Post, settles with mom for $100,000 after school transitioned her daughter without her consent. Let me read that again. California school district settles with mom for $100,000 after school transitioned daughter without her consent. The school worked with the daughter at the age of 11, at the age of 11, to help her understand she was really a boy and to transition to being a boy. I mean, this is government-sponsored child abuse because this was in a public school. This is a frontal assault on parental rights, and on every level is wrong. On every level, there's not one good positive thing about it, no matter how well-intended it may have been. On every level, it is wrong and unjustifiable. So this woman took the school district to court, got a settlement for $100,000. I don't know what lasting damage was done or will be done in the life of the daughter and in the heart of the mother because of what she had to live through. But this is absolutely horrific. And friends, this is happening in more schools than you know. You say, how do I know that? Because you don't know it. In other words, there are plenty of schools that say it's our policy to not inform the parents. And that kid can sit with a teacher or a school counselor and they can say, yeah, your problems are that you're really trapped in the wrong body. We're going to help you transition. And by law, here, let's get to another story from California, all right? California school sues school district over its transgender notification policy. This is Reuters reporting this. California sues school district over its transgender notification policy. Okay, so please wrap your head around this with me. There's a reason we've been shouting for so many years. There's a reason we've been bringing this to your attention for so many years. It's not because homosexual practice is the worst sin of all. There's all kinds of sin in the church. There's all kinds of heterosexual sin. There's all kinds of perversion in the heterosexual world. There's sin everywhere. It's not the issue. It is an agenda. It is the agenda. And it is the agenda affecting our children with gay or bi or trans activism. That's what we're shouting about. The agenda, especially as it affects kids. All right, so here's the deal. California has said, school policy, that if a kid is transitioning in school, the teachers, the school, do not have to notify the parents. I mean, this is madness. This is an absolute assault on parental rights and parental responsibilities. It is madness. Again, it is unjustifiable on every front. So what happens now? Well, one school district says, no, we are going to inform parents. If one of the kids says they want to transition and they're hiding it from their parents, we are going to tell the parents. And the government of California, the Newsom administration, is suing the school. You don't have a right to do it. I mean, this is turning the world upside down. This is calling good evil and evil good. Yes, I'm exercised about this. Yes, I'm grieved about this. Yes, I'm burdened about this. This is madness. Not only do we know the destruction that's coming to so many young lives, and you talk about that one lawsuit settled for $100,000, do you know what's going to happen as more and more young people, quote, detransition? More and more young people say, why did these doctors put me on hormone blockers to stop the onset of puberty, and now I'm sterilized and I can't have children? I was just going through a stage of confusion. Why did these doctors remove my healthy breasts when I was 13 years old as a young teen girl thinking I was trapped in a wrong body? I can't get that back. Why did they do that? it was lawsuits as of a year ago. There were 1,000 lawsuits that were coming against Tavistock, which was the world's largest gender clinic. It was based in the UK. It's since been shut down. But there were 1,000 that were going to be coming against them, lawsuits for putting children on puberty blockers prematurely, for giving them hormone treatments prematurely that affect them for life. Like girls, maybe they're going to have facial hair for life, or their voice deepened, or their certain areas of their body won't develop properly. They won't be able to have children. And on and on. It's barbaric. It's barbaric. And whatever money they were making is going to pale in comparison to where these lawsuits will be going. And we'll be seeing more and more and more of them in America. But here, the state of California, please grasp the weight of this. The state of California has said that if your child is 12 years old, decides that they're really a boy trapped in a girl's body, and the school is going to help transition them and change their name and have the students refer to them a certain way, etc., you are not allowed to tell the parents. And if you dare tell the parents, we're going to sue you. Friends, this is cultural madness. This is cultural madness. Okay, one more example. How about this? This is from Maryland, Montgomery County, where my wife Nancy and I and our daughters Jen and Megan lived for 9 years, from 87 to 96. So here's a story on, let's see, the Free Press. The revolt of religious parents in Montgomery County, a fight over school curriculum, has made strange bedfellows of Muslims, Christians, and Latter-day Saints. What would bring all these groups together? They simply said to Montgomery County school districts, allow our kids to opt out of the sex ed classes. It violates our values as Muslims, Christians, Mormons, etc. Allow our kids to opt out when you're going to give your pro-LGBT presentations and all of these other things that we don't agree with. Allow our kids to opt out. And the school board said no. And look at this. This is last Thursday. A Maryland district court sent a clear message to parents at Montgomery County Public Schools. You don't get a say in what your kids read at school. In other words, the court sided with the school board, saying parents cannot opt out their children. This is outrageous. And there must be an uprising across America where we find out even more what our children are being taught and how they're being indoctrinated. And when, without screaming, yelling, or violence, we confront the school boards and we tell them this must stop. We take things to court, and wherever possible, we replace bad school boards with good school boards by running ourselves and getting involved. Not to impose Christianity or Islam or Mormonism on the students, but to push away an agenda of cultural madness. Are you hearing me? Are you tracking? We'll be right back. You can't resist us!
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. I'm always thrilled to offer a new product from Trivita that is science-supported with equivalent doses per serving that follows the science. And that is true of our KSM-66 Ashwagandha with its protective process from farm to manufacturing plant. The KSM-66 has 24 published gold standard clinical trials in reducing stress, enhancing sleep, and increased vitality. In a recent Harris poll, 87% of Americans feel stressed. I know the effects of chronic stress. It happened to me a number of years ago, and I will never forget when the physician said, Michael, you must change the way you think about life and health, or you will have no quality of life, and you will die a premature death. Now, I can assure you Ashwagandha KSM-66 is in my daily diet. Trivita has a special offer of Ashwagandha for you as listeners to The Line of Fire. If you buy one at $19.99, you will get one free. Plus, you'll receive your free new digital book, A Healthy Church Starts with a Healthy You, by Dr. Brown, with your order. The message of Dr. Brown in this book, it rings clear in spiritual clarity. Dr. Michael Brown shares his own story of his journey to wellness, along with his wife, Nancy, and they reveal 10 most important steps to a lasting life transformation. Whole body wellness is not a pipe dream. It is God's dream for you.
To order, call 1-800-771-5584. Use promo code KSM66 and receive one bottle at $19.99 and get one free, along with your free digital copy of Healthy You. Or go to TRIVITA.com and use promo code KSM66. Call 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, you said, Dr. Brown, you promised you won't get our blood boiling without our faith rising. Well, our blood is boiling. Okay, your faith will rise as well. Your faith will rise as well. I've not opened the phone lines, given out our phone number, because I'm not going to be taking calls, and I want to go straight to our guest at the bottom of the hour. I will say something about the importance of our voice today and how we can partner together to see an increase of how we can minister to folks all over the nation. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But let me first tell you why, as painful as this is to see, and as much as lives are being destroyed and kids are being hurt and parents are being pushed away, as grievous as this is, it doesn't surprise me. Because as I began to study these things almost 20 years ago, I began to see how much was in the school curriculum. Even a few years before that, I got a glimpse. When I really dug in, I was quite shocked to see how pervasive these things were. And many parents whose kids are in public schools, either that's your choice or it's the only alternative, there's no Christian school in your area, or you can't afford it, or you're unable to homeschool. So either by choice or by necessity, your kids are in public schools. And many of you, you're involved, you try to find what you can, but life is busy and your kids don't always communicate about everything, right? Well, now with COVID happened a couple of years ago, and you're watching your kids studying online, it's like, what is this? So a lot of parents began to find out. And then the outrage of biological males sharing bathrooms with biological females. I mean, in Loudoun County, Virginia, a boy raped a girl. A boy raped a girl in the girls' room, claiming to be a girl, got into the girls' bathroom and sexually assaulted a girl there. And when the father went and confronted the school board, and they denied that it had happened, and there were actually records that sent to the head of the school board about that very thing. There were emails sent about that very thing. And he said it never happened. And the father got outraged. I mean, screaming. I had to carry him out. It's understandable. It's understandable. And then we hear, as a result of, you know, some of the outbursts of parents and school board meetings, that Attorney General Merrick Garland has been authorized to look into domestic terrorism. Come on. This is madness, friends. This is madness. This is what we're dealing with. But none of it is a surprise. And if you read things I've written about this for years and years and years, you know that we've been shouting at the top of our voices to wake people up to what's happening. At the same time, we've said that this is all going to backfire, that people are going to say enough is enough, that Americans who want to be tolerant people, who don't want to repeat the bigotry and hatred of the past and the horrible sins we committed against African-Americans and against Native Americans. We don't want to repeat those things. We want to be open-minded, tolerant. Hey, if this guy loves another guy and they're nice people and not hurting anybody, why shouldn't they be able to be married? Love is love. You should be able to marry the one they love. You love them. So there's this sentiment of not wanting to be bigoted, not wanting to be intolerant, not wanting to be a homophobe or a biphobe or a transphobe. I understand that. But these same people who are open-minded, tolerant, didn't sign up for a school secretly transitioning their 11-year-old kid. No, they didn't sign up for that. They didn't sign up for their daughter holding in, going to the bathroom the entire day, not even drinking water the entire day at school because she's afraid there's going to be a boy in her bathroom. They didn't sign up for their daughter getting injured in a game playing against a biological male who's much stronger. They didn't sign up for that. And they didn't sign up for some of the madness. You say, what do I mean by mad? Sorry, my two most recent articles. One was on stream.org yesterday. The other will be on AskDrBrown.org probably tomorrow. The first one, surgical barbarism. Surgical barbarism. According to the David Plastic Surgery site, not all of the patients of Dr. Peter K. Davis, quote, desire a complete transition. For these, quote, gender nonconforming patients, Dr. Davis also performs gender nullification, also known as male to eunuch or smoothie procedures. The procedure includes a complete penectomy, oreectomy, a reduction of the scrotal sac, and shortening of the urethra. The goal is to leave the area as a smooth, unbroken transition from the abdomen to the groin. Isn't that satire? Isn't that some fiendish experiment from Dr. Mengele in the Holocaust? This is a sought-after surgery. Do you understand the picture of what's happening here? Gender nullification. This is legal? This is legal? Along with performing surgeries, elective surgeries on children to help, quote, transition them? This is legal? Why is this any different than someone suffering from BID or BIID, body identity integrity disorder, who's tormented because they have a left arm or right hand and their mind map, their brain map tells them they shouldn't have this. It's like this monstrous thing. And if they can just cut it off, they'll be at peace. And some have actually found ways to do it. I mean, with saws or with freezing and ice and all kinds of horrible things. One woman even got herself blinded because she didn't feel right with seeing. And they all say it's the best thing that ever happened. They feel so much better. Surely the solution is to help them from the inside out. How about this article? It's up on townhall.com, be on our website tomorrow. When radical leftists support children identifying as minotaurs, you know that sanity will prevail. You say, okay, Dr. Brown, I still don't get how this is going to get my faith rising. Stay with me one more moment here. So, self-professed feminist professor Diane Ehrenseft has spoken of a gender revolution. She serves as the director of mental health and chief psychologist at the UCSF Benioff Children's Hospital Gender Development Center, also professor at the UCSF School of Medicine. So she wants to help, quote, gender-conforming children. And she introduced the concept of gender hybrids, suggested that children can identify as a blend of genders, influenced by cultural, environmental, and personal factors. So there's gender prius, which is a boy in the front, a girl in the back. There's gender minotaur. It's a body of a man with the head of a bull. Oh, there's children identifying as, let's see, you have pangender youth, you have proto-gay children, you have proto-transgender youth, you have gender Teslas, gender ambidextrous children, gender smoothies. That's like blend everything in a smoothie. It's a different smoothie there. And kids who identify as Tootsie Roll Pops. I'm not making this up. This is a respected professor. So it's not that kids tells mom and dad, hey, mom and dad, I'd like a Tootsie Roll. No, mom and dad, I am a Tootsie Roll. And we used to think when you make believe you're a rhinoceros as a kid, or you were a bird, or you were Superman, or you were onto something. You maybe really were those things. Maybe you're a gender minotaur. Maybe we need to find you minotaur hormones. Okay, I'm exaggerating to make a point. The point is, people aren't going to buy this. The more extreme this becomes, the more people are pushing back. It's a fact. People are pushing back across America, and the church must lead the way. Friends, God has called me. This has been almost 20 years now. God has called me to be on the cutting edge of this, to be the tip of the arrow. I need you to help pull this arrow back, all right? And we're ready to take on the issues. We've taken them on. I've received the hatred. I've been blacklisted. There are things I can't do. There are places I can't go because of things that I've said, all right? We'll take that. But it's time for us to partner together. I want to encourage you to join this radio revolution. Yeah, I'm literally sitting here for those just listening with hands like they're on a bow and pulling this thing back to shoot the arrow of the line of fire out. Partner with us. We're about to share with you how you can join our support team. $1 a day. It is making a difference. All of our torchbearers around America and around the world who support us with $1 a day or more, we are making a difference. The tide is turning. We've got to seize the moment and turn the tide. So give this a careful listen. Join our support team. It's time, friends. This must be addressed. We must raise up holy, godly resistance, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming lies with truth, overcoming the flesh with the spirit. Give this a careful listen, please, and we'll be right back with our guest. Hey friends, Dr. Michael Brown here. Do you remember when people thought I was crazy when I said it's not too late for America, that God can still do something in our country, that there is going to be a pushback, a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution? And do you remember when people thought that you were crazy because you felt the same way, because you believed what I was saying and already felt it in your heart? Well, friends, that pushback is here. The gospel-based moral and cultural revolution we've been talking about for 25 years is unfolding, and we are right in the thick of it. And the Line of Fire broadcast is divinely positioned for such a time as this. Friends, you would be so gratified and blessed as I hear, if you could hear what I hear, testimony after testimony as leaders, young people, old people, moms, dads, students, people from all backgrounds come up to me and say, Dr. Brown, you're providing a template for us. You're providing a blueprint for us. You're showing us how to do this, how to have hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. But friends, it's a joint effort. We do this together. And with your support, we can amplify this broadcast around the nation and amplify this voice to shake the nation. Join our support team today. Become a torchbearer with $1 or more per day. Here's the number to call to sign up. 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275, or go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and become a monthly supporter. Click on Donate Monthly Support. I want to immediately give you two classic books, Compassionate Father or Consuming Fire, Who is the God of the Old Testament, and Revolution, which will really show you what it means to be a Jesus follower today. Plus, you get free access to our online classes and so much more. Sign up today, askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. I'm about to go to my guest, Greg Kokel, but I decided to just look on Amazon. The book comes out September 12th, so you are getting a preview here of the book. It comes out on September 12th, Street Smarts, Using Questions to Answer Christianity's Toughest Challenges. It is already, this is 2 weeks before it releases, it is already the number one new release in evangelism. It is selling better than any of my books that are out, and his is not even out yet. So when he writes, people listen. And the great thing about what Greg does is he tackles the issues seriously, but he does them in a practical way that can help everyone. So without further ado, Greg, welcome back to The Line of Fire. Are you there?
Hey, Michael. Yeah, well, I was having a hard time hearing you, but yeah, by the way, I didn't know that I was outselling you right now. Glad to hear it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think you regularly outsell me. Your books do really, really well. I just write more, but yours definitely get out there. And I'm so thrilled because it's saying that it's meeting a need. It's saying that it's practical. It's saying that you're hitting the nail on the head. So maybe your best-known recent book is Tactics. What is Street Smarts about? Why did you write this now at this time?
Well, Street Smarts is actually a sequel to another book you might be familiar with called Tactics.
Yep.
And Tactics, the subtitle is A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. And that's been out for about 14 years now. A 10-year mark, we did a redo of it and improved it. But the whole idea there is, how do you navigate in conversations with people and do it effectively and keep it calm and make headway in a meaningful way when you've got a very hostile environment? And what I've learned over the years is one of the most, well, there's two things. I make a distinction between gardening and harvesting. And a lot of our techniques for evangelism are kind of harvesting techniques. We're trying to close the deal, okay? And that really isn't the way it works in most cases. I did a talk with an audience of about 700 people last night, and fully one-third of people did not pray with anyone to receive Christ when they became Christians. Mm-hmm. It was something the Lord did on their own because other people had spent time, I'm just going to call it gardening, in their life instead of harvesting. The harvesting kind of happened automatically. So, but most people haven't been given gardening tools. And so what Street Smarts is, as an extension of the earlier book, Tactics, is a way of giving the kind of gardening tools that will help them to have really productive conversations. And Michael, at the heart of that enterprise is using questions creatively. Because questions will keep you safe. The more questions you ask, the more information you're going to get from the other side, which puts you at a better advantage, in a better position to see the errors in somebody else's view, and then use questions to try to expose those errors, but in a friendly way. And that's really the focus of Street Smarts. It's the third step of a three-step game plan that I describe in Tactics. The first one, you find out what a person believes with a question like, what do you mean by that? The second step is you want to know why they believe what they believe contrary to Christianity, and how did you come to that conclusion? But the third step is more complicated, and that is the step where you're using questions to expose a weakness or a flaw. And that is the focus of Street Smarts, where I take topics like atheism and the problem of evil and abortion and problems that people see in the Bible or Bible and science or gender, sex, and marriage, etc., etc., and show where the issues are, how to resolve the issue, what's wrong with the challenge, and then give dialogues with leading questions for the Christian to ask so that they can move smoothly in that conversation and really make a difference without getting into a fight with people. That's what I mean by Street Smarts.
Oh, excellent. And it's so practical. That's the key thing. It's for anybody that has an interest in sharing the gospel and cares about other people. I was just doing an interview a few days back with our mutual friend, Dr. Frank Turek. And of course, when someone tells him there's no absolute truth, he asks them, is that true? So there are ways you ask a question and you just turn things around. And so I want to get into some specifics, and maybe we can do a mock dialogue and I'll be the unbeliever. But let's talk about what maybe the first or the biggest, most common error that we make in sharing our faith. Could you give us your opinion on that? All right. Are you there? Okay.
Yeah, I'm still there. I cannot. Okay. I can barely hear you. I don't hear like every third word. You're so faint in the background.
Okay,
sorry about that.
Yeah, I am so sorry. You know, we do interviews constantly, so I don't know what happened. And I've been on the other end with severe frustration of not being able to hear. Let's try it again. What would you say is the number one biggest error that we make in sharing our faith? I tell you what we're going to do. Truth, I'd like you to try to reconnect with Greg Kokel. Don't know what's going on here, but let's try to reconnect with him. And Greg, if you can hear me, you can call back in. Otherwise, we'll try to get you back on the phone. I don't want this to be suspenseful for you. And I've been in these situations like, I can't hear what you're asking, and I hope I'm answering correctly. And it's a live TV broadcast with a hostile audience, that kind of thing. So let's see if we can reconnect. But now you just have to get the book because we didn't even get to tell you the rest that's in it. Street Smarts, Greg Kokel, Using Questions to Answer Christianity's Toughest Challenges. So we'll see if we can reconnect. But that is very, very odd. Don't know what happened. In any case, do check out the book by all means. And when Greg Kokel has a new book out and says, would you like to have us on? It's like, always, of course. Automatically, definitely, because his work is such high quality and he's been doing solid apologetics with Stand to Reason for so many years. So let's try to reconnect here. Greg, can you hear me this time?
Yeah, I can hear you just barely. I actually heard the recording better when the phone picked up. But then when I went to Michael, he was way in the distance. It was really hard. So okay. Fortunately, I got the first question all right, but then I couldn't follow what he was saying after that.
All right. Well, you are on with me right now, speaking to everyone. So
I didn't even understand what you just said.
All right. So, okay. All right, friends. Truth, if you could just get on with Greg and let him know that we'll have to just reschedule. And not sure with our apologies, but let him know, Truth, please let him know that I am plugging his book actively and encouraging people to get it. And they're going to talk about it more in his absence. So Truth, get on with Greg now and let him know what's going on. And then Kai, you can reach out to him privately. Sorry to be doing all this business here, but what else? It's a live broadcast now. So we will continue. We'll not try to reconnect today, okay? I don't want to frustrate Greg and frustrate our dear listeners. But let's get back to this thing about asking questions. Oh, by the way, now that I have 20 free minutes on the broadcast, I got plenty of stuff to talk to you about, but I'll just go open the phone lines. You can call in and talk to me about anything, any subject under the sun. Feel free to give me a call. Let's see if it's a problem on our phone lines or if it was a problem with Greg Kokel's line. So if you want to call in, talk to me about anything, challenge me on anything, tomorrow's going to get really controversial. It's going to get intensely controversial. But my goal in tomorrow's subject on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday is not to stir up controversy, but to help bring grace and sobriety into the midst of some volatile discussions. So just a heads up, another broadcast you don't want to miss. So this idea of God asking questions in the Bible or in Greg Kokel's Street Smarts book, we are not going to try to reconnect with Greg today. So this idea of us asking questions, have you ever sat down with someone and you really take an interest in their lives? In other words, it's not just a tactic, but you take an interest in their lives and you ask them questions. I know when people ask me questions, it blesses me because they're taking an interest in me. And when it's believers looking to me, it honors me that they feel I can input in their lives. So I really take it seriously and I really think through the implications of this and how I can be a blessing to them in the maximum way. I had a really interesting experience early this month, just a few weeks back. I was at an event that was held at the Billy Graham Library, their larger facility there in Charlotte, North Carolina. I was meeting with a bunch of leaders that were probably millennials, mainly millennials, but all of them ministering to Gen Zers. And we had a discussion group. So part of my role that day was to sit at the table as a mentor and have a discussion with the leaders that were there, the younger leaders. And then I spoke, was part of a panel discussion. So that's what I did that day. And we sat down and we were supposed to have a discussion about the presentations in the morning and what they were about and their reactions to them. But I said, listen, would it be okay if I asked you questions and what you're experiencing in your ministry to Gen Z young people and what's happening in your own lives, and what do you sense the keys are to reaching Gen Z, and et cetera, et cetera. So I laid that out, and we were discussing things, and I was really listening, giving my thoughts and interacting, but really wanted to hear from their experience, because this is where they are, this is how they live, and probably they're all in their 30s, the folks I was speaking to, and most had followed my ministry, so they're familiar with me. So it was just a very natural thing for me to do, right? In other words, let me find out from them. They're interacting with young people that may not know the Lord, or church kids that are maybe struggling or something. And hey, let's find out. So what happened is the next day, one of the gentlemen, actually a couple, husband and wife, that had been at the table with me, introduced me before I spoke briefly the next morning. And they said something really interesting. It got my attention. They said, instead of us sitting there asking Dr. Brown questions, he asked us questions. And it made me feel honored. It was from the heart. It was from the heart. Hey, right now, I believe I should be fading out and the music should be fading in, but I don't hear anything.
Are you stressed and searching for a natural way to restore balance in your life? Look no further. Introducing Trivita's Ashwagandha KSM-66, nature's science-supported secret to inner harmony and well-being. I'm Dr. Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health and director of wellness services at Trivita. I want you to know that Trivita's Ashwagandha KSM-66 is not just ashwagandha. Ashwagandha KSM-66 undergoes a rigorous formulation process and has 22 gold standard clinical trials. Trivita's Ashwagandha KSM-66 adaptogenic properties assist your body in adapting to stress, reducing fatigue, and restoring your natural balance. Ashwagandha's KSM-66 is shown to support cognitive function, mental clarity, and focus, and is shown to promote deep and restful sleep, so you can wake up feeling rejuvenated and ready to take on the day. Trivita has a special offer for you, the listeners of Dr. Brown's Line of Fire broadcast. Buy one 30-day supply of Trivita's Ashwagandha KSM-66, and you will receive an additional 30-day supply for free. Plus, you will receive a free digital copy of Dr. Brown's new book, A Healthy Church Starts with a Healthy You. Don't wait any longer. Join countless others who have discovered the benefits of Trivita's Ashwagandha KSM-66.
To order, call 1-800-771-5584. Use promo code KSM-66 and receive one bottle at $19.99 and get one free, along with your free digital copy of Healthy You. Or go to trivita.com and use promo code KSM66. Call 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The joy. The joy of live radio and live internet broadcast. Yeah, things happen on the fly. And as our guys are trying to, so we're outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. For those who don't know this, we're outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. We then connect via internet to a studio, the Truth Studio in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, about an hour and 15 minutes away. And then from there, by satellite, we go to our other stations around the country, our other Truth stations, Salem stations around the country. We go to those stations as well. And then from our offices here, we do a live feed on YouTube and Facebook. And as we were trying to figure out what was going on and some of the issues here, that our guys were adjusting volume settings, etc. And because of that, I didn't hear the music. So you're hearing music saying, what are you talking about? There's no music. So that's the joy. But you just got to keep going. You just got to keep moving. And especially everybody that tunes in, I'm jealous of every second you have. Even when I talk about standing with us or getting behind us or making an investment in your body with these Trivita supplements, I try to do it as briefly as I can because I want every minute of radio time to count. Having mentioned Trivita, pick up the phone if you have an 800-771-5584. Get your free online health consultation in terms of asking questions about the Trivita folks, about things you want to find and you need help in your body. And then you get the free mini book from Nancy and me, A Healthy Church Starts with a Healthy You, to really encourage you to look at serious lifestyle changes so you can be healthy and thrive, and then add these supplements in as well, or start wherever you are. And let's move forward together. 800-771-5584, or go to Trivita.com, T-R-I-V-I-T-A, Trivita.com. Use the code BROWN25 for your discount, and to be sure your funds are donated right back here to the Line of Fire. Okay, so let's return to this question about asking questions. So when you sit with someone and they share something with you and you ask more questions, not in a way that's intrusive, but to really understand better and to go deeper, that genuinely tells someone that you're interested. So it's not a ploy, it's something genuine. And what's fascinating, and this ties in with some of the concept in Greg's book, Street Smarts, what's fascinating is that God asks questions in the Bible. So why would God ask questions? Why does God need to ask questions? Well, he's obviously not getting information. Adam, where are you? You're hiding. Does God not know where Adam was? I was afraid. I was hiding because I was naked. Who told you you were naked? Did God not know what happened? Before the world was created, God foresaw all of this. And then after Cain kills Abel, where is your brother Abel? Did God not know? When God asked Job, beginning in Job 38, where were you when I laid the foundation of it? Did God not have the answer to that? Of course he did. It is to solicit, to elicit a response from us. And that response is often very, very telling with Cain. Am I my brother's keeper? Oh, we just found out something about you. So again, my friend Frank Turek, when someone says something to him, and you shouldn't judge and you're just being a bigot, he says, well, aren't you judging me? Aren't you judging me for being a bigot? Right? So this is the kind of thing that's very, very useful, and that you can get the book and find out, okay, let's go through a dialogue here. Let's discuss this. I remember some years back, someone attacks me on what was then Twitter, is now X. Someone attacks me, and I believe they were in a same-sex relationship, and they were listening to me on the radio. And this was on a Sunday, so this was our repeat broadcast on Sunday that air on American Family Radio. I don't know, maybe 200 stations, two hours on Sunday. And they were listening, and who is this guy? And somehow found me on Twitter and attacked me while they're driving. And I asked them a question, because love is love and love wins. You have the right to marry the one you love. I said, well, what if you love two people? What if that's the case? Do you have the right to marry two? No, I'm not saying that. Only marriage is two. I said, well, why is it two? Why is sologamy wrong? You say, what's sologamy? Sologamy is marrying yourself. You say, Mike Brown, are you making up words now? No, look it up. Look up sologamy and see what you come up with. Look at sologamy. Yeah, let's have him do a little experiment here. As we're talking, I'm going to type in, let's see, sologamy wedding services. And let's see what comes up here. What to know about self-marriage. What to expect at a self-marriage or sologamy ceremony. How to officiate a symbolic self-marriage or sologamy. A guide to sologamy. I married me. What is sologamy? What it means to marry yourself. I honestly did not know what I was going to find when I typed that in, but I had a good enough idea to know I was going to find stuff like this. Well, why not sologamy? Well, because marriage is two people. Why two? Why can't you marry yourself? And why not three or four or six or eight or ten or any number? Why is polyamory wrong? Multiple loving relationships. Why is that wrong? And why is it that polyamorous folks years back said we're just 30 years behind gay rights? This is we march at the gay pride events. Polyamory, if love is love, why not? So interestingly enough, it was a young woman I was interacting with that day in this Twitter battle, and as she moved from state to state, it was over a few hours as she was driving. She'd come back on, found me at another station because American Family Radio was all over the state she was in. And she's now, here you are again going after me. But she could never answer my questions. She was aggressive. And what I found with many people is they have their talking points in order. But when you raise a question about the talking point, often that's all they have is the talking point. And now you can get them to think a little more deeply. Why is marriage about two people, not one and not three? Because by definition, it is the union of a man and a woman. Because only that union through history has the possibility of bringing children into a world and raising those children together in a way that is a benefit to the society. In other words, the government conveys benefits on marriage because marriage conveys benefits on society. Does the government tell you who you can and can't date? Does the government do that? No. The government, you need to get governmental permission when you get engaged? No. Let's say you're a 20-year-old guy sleeping with your 19-year-old girlfriend. She moves in with you. Do you need governmental permission to do that? No. Well, then, Why does the government get involved in marriage? And it's not a money-making thing. It's not like the government makes money every time you get married. You get tax benefits. Why? Because by definition, it's the union of one man and one woman. And by definition, not exception to the rule, but by definition, with the ability to have children, and even if you say a gay couple can have children through other means, to raise those children with a mother and father. Because overall, we know, statistically, endless studies, that is the best environment for a child to thrive. So once you redefine marriage, it's one thing to say, well, here's a gay couple, and they live together. Okay, well, they live together. And here's a heterosexual couple, they live together, and they're not married. Okay, and they go to this gay couple goes to a gay church, and the gay pastor gives them a blessing. That's between them and God. Of course, I believe it's misguided, no matter how lovingly intended. But this, I'm not stopping that. I'm not burning the church down. I'm not harassing my neighbors if they're a gay couple living together. If it was polyamorous, if it was one guy and two girls, or two girls and one guy, or whatever the thing was. They're neighbors. I want to reach out to them, love them, share the gospel with them. And that's not the issue to me. The issue is the agenda in the society, and the issue is how when you redefine marriage, then everything else becomes up for grabs, as we've been seeing in increasing measure since 2015 when the Supreme Court outrageously did that. The point is, when we ask questions, we often expose how little there is behind the objection and the attack. I can't trust the Bible. Why not? Well, the Bible is just a translation of translations of translations, and no one really knows what the original said. Oh, really? Can we look at that together? I couldn't believe in a God like that. Well, like what? Many a time someone describes the God they can't believe in, and you say, I wouldn't believe in that God either. If that was the only God that existed, I'd want to be an atheist too. No. Let's find out who the God of the Bible is. I could never go to a church because, why? And many times people have been hurt. They've been hurt by the church. They've been hurt by hypocritical Christians. They've been hurt by abusive Christians. They've been hurt. They've been disappointed. Now that I understand that, I can try to be a bridge of healing and love to say that's terrible, and it's deplorable, and it's inexcusable. But you know, that's exact opposite of what Jesus taught, and the exact opposite of the standards that he set for his leaders. And you know, I can introduce you to 100 people who would never do that to you in a million years. That's an aberration. What can I do to help bring healing to those wounds? Because that's the big issue, because God didn't hurt you. The church as a whole didn't. Bad people did. So go ahead, ask questions, try to get to the root of what is going on, and then from there, you can help get to the answers. So again, the book, Street Smarts, comes out September 12th.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.